what is your product you're trying to sell or offer? What's your cause? And then for nonprofits, don't just go and ask, give me money, give me money. It's kind of, here's what we're doing. Fall in love with what we're doing.
Imagine living your normal day and getting your car fueled up on demand. Seriously. Check out LA Startup Refill Fuel and enter code WeAreLATech for $10 off. That's Refill Fuel. It's amazing. Literally, you can be anywhere and have your gas totally topped off the tank and not even have to deal with it. No more gas stations. To go to refillfuel.com. That's refillfuel.com. Code WeAreLATech for $10 off. We could not do this without the community believing in our vision together. We Are LA Tech is independently funded by you, the community. So to support We Are LA Tech, go to patreon.com/WeAreLATech. That's patreon.com/WeAreLATech. Welcome back to the We Are LA Tech podcast. So excited, you guys. I'm about to be going on a cross-country road trip interviewing women in tech, which is absolutely so cool. We're celebrating them state to state. But before I leave on this epic journey powered by Kia, thank you, Kia, for being so supportive of the women in tech community, I get the amazing opportunity to get to know Steve. An awesome LA tech company here servicing people in design and development work, full creative. So cool. He created a community profile. If you guys haven't gone to the We Are LA Tech community profile page, make sure to do that because the whole idea behind the community page is to have a way to celebrate you guys. We want to make sure that everyone gets to know that you exist here in this Los Angeles tech ecosystem. So just go to wearelatech.com/community to create that profile. But now let's get started on this epic conversation with Steve. Ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Steve, go ahead and introduce yourself to everybody. Tell them who you are and like, what do you do?
Sure. I'm Steve Tizio. I'm the co-founder, CEO, kind of creative director, everything of an experiential marketing agency called Friendly Vengeance. We've been around for about 3 years. And really, our goal is to help connect consumers, audiences with brands and causes on an emotional level, using things such as, you know, new technologies, just kind of like more quirky interactions and things like that. Yeah. And the live space is what we're really trying to focus on.
I love that word experiential. Like it means, especially the whole We Are LA Tech ethos has to do with having life experiences and experiential and the kind of like connectivity we have with one another. What does the word experiential mean to you?
Yeah. So in terms of marketing and, you know, all of ours is driven by some sort of technologically, you know, either a touch screen, a tablet, or more of like a physical space, interactive activation. But everything we try to do is a way to create these small, like event-based things where people can actually have some sort of personal experience with a brand or a cause instead of here's an advertisement for you to look at passively. Right. So I always tell people advertising, the traditional sense of marketing and advertising is kind of here's a spot, here's an advertisement, now buy my product.
Right.
And the new one, and it's a story they're kind of selling you, but now the new is like, we're making a story and you're part of the story and we want you to be a part of this moment with us. And so instead of, you know, say, instead of Casper mattresses throwing a bunch of flyers out at an event at South by Southwest, they made sleep pods for people to take naps in and you could schedule naps for them. So you're getting a whole different like take on there, or like, you know, Coca-Cola or Twitter will open a house at an event like that.
100%.
And they'll just have a whole bunch of fun things to do. And you're more likely to tell that story to all your friends with enthusiasm instead of like, oh, I got a coupon from so-and-so or I got a flyer from so-and-so.
And so you help brands be able to tell that story.
Yeah. And so background that our agency came from was a larger experience agency that did a lot of trade show and exhibit development. We just didn't really like the brands that we were doing it for. So we, after about 5 years of fatigue, we decided to shift gears and focus on brands that were socially progressive, had their visions in line with our own. And so, you know, new company, we do everything from websites to mobile apps, but we're trying to get more into like the larger event space technology and things like that. Now.
And where in LA are you based?
Our office is downtown. We work out of, it sounds funny to say, we work out of the WeWork and the Gas Tower right now.
Downtown is a great area and super thriving for the LA tech.
Yeah, there's a lot of other spaces there now. Like there's the WeWorks are kind of the mainstays, I think, for most people there right now. There's Impact Hub, which is all nonprofit based co-working space. There's probably five or six other ones because there's like a makerspace hub there.
Yeah.
And there's also just a lot of people who got ahead of the game and bought large offices when they were cheap down there.
Totally.
I was not quite there yet, but yeah, that's a lot. You'll see a lot of these huge office spaces people have when they got in there when there was nothing left in LA.
Oh, wow. And you guys, Steve is the coolest. First of all, Steve had to wait about forever for it to be on this interview because I've been preparing, as I told you guys, for the Women in Tech road trip. So I already like Steve because he didn't give me a hard time and I felt awful that he had to wait. He was early. Like, who in LA is ever early? So not only was he early, he was patient. I'm telling you, this guy, he's a professional. So what LA tech company or talent have you come across lately that you've been really awed by?
Yeah. So I have a friend named Fred who runs a company called Splice Media. They were, when I met them, I worked with Fred on plenty of video shoots and things like that. They were a production house. They've really gotten heavy into the VR world. Mm-hmm. And so they're doing a lot of like more just kind of, he got in really early. So he's one of those guys who is kind of, you know, Adobe and all the companies that have make all the software behind it really back him. And he's been doing a lot of really cool shoots. Some of the first films that were released, he's been on at the helm for. So it's been really cool to see him grow with that. And we've done a couple of things. We actually shot VR kitten footage at NKLA. And we are going to send some of that not only for NKLA to use as promotional material, but we also are sending it to a children's hospital in Michigan to show to some of the kids there. So they try to like give them content to look at and kind of just give them this escapist moment. Yeah. You know, they're kind of confined to a building. So let's get them something like they can't have cats in a hospital. So let's bring them 5 minutes of kitten footage playing around and things like that. So we always looked for a way to take that technology and do something that's good with it. You know, something that'll make us feel good, make someone else feel good and generate a positive response.
Well, and you guys will include Splice in the show notes as well. Now, you created Vengeance. How many years ago was that?
Friendly Vengeance. I created the name about a decade ago when I was like first out in LA and I worked in commercials and VFX. And I wanted to, I really wanted to move into this kind of, maybe I could be a creative someday in the commercial world. I was really into marketing because I was working in commercials and I was doodling and I made this really bad looking logo. And then for some reason, like the name came to me first. I was looking, it looks like two like spies connected, like because our logo is essentially like a conjoined twin that's fighting with himself. So it was looked like two spies. So I was like, oh, maybe double agent. And then I started looking, there already was a double agent. And so Friendly Vengeance came to me and then I shelved it for like 5 years. And then,
as we all do with most domains.
Yeah. And so I had the domain and then I got into the tech world, right when I got into kind of this trade show tech, the like kind of iPhone was just blowing up with apps and things like that, where everybody was getting a hold of technology everywhere. So then I started seeing a much bigger potential for my creativity to thrive, for me to touch more people instead of hoping someday I'll be in the film industry as like a writer. And I was like, well, this is where I can be creative and reach more people and an immediate impact could be made. So I worked with this company for 5 years and Dave and Amy, my co-founders, were at the same company with me. I actually interviewed Amy and I think Dave was on my first ever project. So we worked together. Dave was one of the heads of development there. Amy was an art director there. I was a creative director eventually there. So it was kind of like the three of us can make a project.
Right.
And so after I said the fatigue set in of not, you know, doing work for clients you just didn't believe in, got them aside and kind of said, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. If you guys want to help me with it in any way. And they both were on board to join me as full partners. So we founded the company legally in 2013. We did a little incognito work, you know, for the first few months while we were still holding on to full-time jobs. And April of 2014 was when we became like a full-time job.
Right.
And so since then, we've had at least one major client to help us, you know, stay afloat while we find our bearings and really hone our vision over the last couple of years.
And how did you go about finding that, you know, that first client that was able to sustain a full business?
Yeah. So a lot of it is who you know. and so a friend of ours just happened to be at dinner with a friend of ours and he was working with this client and he was doing project management with them. And he basically was saying, you know, just finding out that we're going to maybe start our own business. We're kind of starting our own business. And, you know, we worked with him. He actually worked with us at the former agency.
Right.
And so he was kind of like, well, that you might have some small work with this client. I might be able to get you like some branding work with them and some marketing stuff. So like, cool. You know, so we met with the owners of the company and they really took a liking to us. And they're like, sure, we want the marketing stuff, but we also have this enterprise software that has to get totally redesigned and redone. And they're like, it's a software that's been around for 15 years for them. And like, we need it to be refreshed and redone entirely.
Right.
And so that's a massive multi-year project of developing enterprise software. So that put us in like, you know, we're still working full time for them as well as other clients at this point.
Right.
And so it's kind of like this awesome like thing of like, this is enough work to at least guarantee us a year.
That's
amazing. Are we going to take the dive and just say, if 1 year everything goes belly up, we can figure it out.
Yeah.
So let's just take the risk and do it. And so, yeah, they're like still one of our, they're still our biggest clients, still our, one of, you know, one of our favorite clients to work with. They're great.
It's incredible.
And it's just been like, yeah, it's been an awesome ride with them the whole time.
That's incredible. And you're really interested in staying connected, obviously being, you know, on the We Are LA Tech podcast to the LA Tech community. Where does agency life and LA Tech kind of merge? And how did you even come into the We Are LA Tech world in the first place?
Yeah. So, I mean, LA is an agency city, you know, as much as New York and as much as London and things like that. So LA has always been a huge agency city. And I started finding that a lot of the agencies out here say they do digital, but they outsource the digital.
Right.
And so most of them, most big agencies still outsource to someone else. And so it's kind of one of those things where we would rather not do that as a model. And also we found like we can work also with other agencies that don't have this department.
Right.
Like
right.
They have a lot of digital departments. Like they have someone who knows how to make a website.
Yeah.
But a lot of them can't develop anything beyond that. And so it fits really well that we're kind of this agency slash, you know, tech development house because we do experimental stuff on the side. And it kind of fits really well that we can both play nice with other agencies because I do see the model changing to where instead of one huge agency doing everything, everyone has a specialty and they focus on what they're good at. And, you know, I'm going to focus on creating this experience and then you can focus on the messaging and the story if you want. And we'll come together and make a more powerful product than one agency calls all the shots and has a bunch of small houses trying to do it.
And one thing I want to, and just before I even ask my next question, how can people continue to cyberstalk you online? Where can they go?
I think I'm the only Steve Tezio in the world. So on all formats, I'm under that. It's Steve and it's Tizeo.
And, and
your
website.
A very Italian last name with just the white first name.
I love it. And, so, and your website?
The website is friendlyvengeance.com. So
awesome.
V-E-N-G-E-A-N-C-E. It's a tough one for email sometimes. People mess it up the first time.
What tips can you give us listening to create, like to think experiential?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, we have a brand, a lot of us are startups and we're trying to figure out like, how do we make our brand more emotionally connective? What are some of the thought processes you'd suggest we think about in developing a better strategy for growing our brand?
Right. So I think a lot of it is audience, and it seems like most brands want to target millennials, right? And so there's this whole thing about millennials. You know, a lot of people say, well, they have this horrible attention span, and which may or may not be true, but their consumption is based on short snippets. So regular TV commercials, especially now with DVRs and people who stream, don't really cut it anymore.
Yeah.
So, you know, I love TV commercials. I still do. I'm the guy who was like, oh, I love when I see a new spot. I'm like, fall in love with it. And so, because I worked in that for a while and I have a lot of respect for that. I'm like the last age of millennials possible. So, so you know, I have like a respect for that, but I understand also that people, they want to be like engaged differently.
Right.
So I think the most important thing you can do is build a community around your brand of people who believe in it.
Right.
And so people will be loyal once you give them some reason to be loyal.
Right.
And they're going to be champions. And so for me, I'm like Airbnb. I champion them everywhere I go.
Yeah.
Because I've always had great experiences with them.
Yeah.
Zappos is another one.
Yeah.
And so there's certain brands that just stick to me. So
totally.
I think your main thing is, what is your product you're trying to sell or offer? What's your cause? And then, you know, for nonprofits, don't just go and ask, give me money. It's kind of, here's what we're doing. Fall in love with what we're doing.
Right.
And then eventually you'll come around and donate to us and you'll also champion us to other people.
100%.
And so that's like my thing is I hate when on the nonprofit side, I support a lot of nonprofits and I'll see a lot of their like street teams outside at Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
And I can never stop. I always like, I tell them I donate. I already donate.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, I am walking home. You're kind of like intruding on my day now. And so I'm always like, there's got to be a better way to get people to like this brand than just have people with clipboards coming at them. And I understand why they do it. It's cheap. It's a way to get signatures and get potentially donations. But I'm just like, there's got to be a better way to involve people. And so,
but what's like an action step you can give us? We could get off this episode and we could, what's three things that we could do to think about how to grow our brand in an experiential way?
Right. So I, like I said, first identify, what kind of community are you looking to build? Because that'll help you target where you want to give people an experience. So experiential in the big sense is usually at an event where you would have like anything from a booth to, you know, a house you rent out or something like that. I know in startup world, that's not always the easiest thing to do, but it's kind of one of those things of seek out what is a way that I can not beat someone over the head with my brand, but say, sell my general concept in a inclusive atmosphere. And that's where agencies come in. And also agencies can say, like, we can help you, you know, there's a product out there called like, I think it's just called Ugly Brand. And they make like,
ugly
like
things.
They make sodas that are just not, they're like no sugars or anything like that, but it's called Ugly Brand. I think they're UK based. And I just started checking them out and I'm like, they'd be perfect to have like a House of Ugly thing where you have like a really like kind of, maybe it looks kind of like janky, like a booth or like a, you know, like some sort of tent at an event that just looks kind of like gross and broken down, but then you have your drinks inside of it. I think that'd be a great way to sell that product. And so include your product. If it's like a consumable, include it in some sort of party atmosphere. That's the easy way to do that. You know, so even like there are brands like, you know, like something like a Monster Energy drink where there's everywhere and they know who their audience is and they're just kind of, ubiquitous to their place.
It was crazy when I went to South by Southwest. Sour Patch Kids had a Sour Patch House, and it was so cool. And they had all these musicians at the Patch House. I think it was last year, or maybe it was 2 years ago. I've been to so many South Bys,
but Patch Kid junkie, so it would have been bad if I went.
It was like it was really really cool, but it's about creating the whole experience. They had the Patch Rooms, and you know, it was just it was great. It was great. It was for South by Music.
So this year, I'm trying to think of one of the really good ones at South by. I mean, one of the best experiential things at South by this year was, did you see, I don't know if you went this year, this past year, but the Wow Factory that opened up, it was a, they have a big barn across by the convention center and this Sony Wow Factory. And it was just like fully immersive projection mapping everywhere.
I didn't see that.
All these cool games and stuff people could play, like everything from wall climbing to like DJ booth type things you could do. It was, everything was beautiful the way they did
That's crazy. I go to South by every year because we host the official South by Southwest podcasters meetup in Austin. So yeah, but I didn't see that.
I actually now I go to South by and I pick like two sessions a day that I really want to go to instead of like trying to run to all of them. And then I just take in the experiences.
I barely and go so, to any sessions.
Like Samsung used to, yeah, weren't there this year, which was surprising. But Samsung usually does a pretty awesome experience at their house at South by every year.
And Samsung is amazing for digital lately.
One of the best things, the reason I still use a Samsung phone was I had like the Galaxy 3 or something like that way back, my first ever South by. And also the reason I got on Twitter. They had a thing where those were phones where you could remove the battery. So if you were to tweet to Samsung US, whatever their handle was, and hashtag power on, they would direct message you, find wherever you were in Austin, and a bike messenger would bring you a new battery.
Oh, crazy.
And you could do it as many times as you want all day.
So cool.
When you're in line at an event like that and your battery's dying constantly, you're just like, you know, that's the best way to
Awesome.
You know, it's like, okay, I'm going to keep texting this car or tweeting this company and they're going to keep bringing me a new battery.
Totally. Steve, what's one ask you have of the community, something they could do to support you in your success to help accelerate your growth?
Sure. I would say follow Friendly Vengeance on all of our social media. So we are at FV Social on Instagram and on Twitter, which we're admittedly not as active as we should be. We're getting there. And we're just facebook.com/friendlyvengeance. Follow us on those and just reach out. We like to meet.
How many people are on your team?
So we're three founders, and then our contractor base goes anywhere from 0 to 10, depending on project size at this point.
Very cool.
We have like one part-time marketing help. So we're always looking, you know, this is the year where our project load has grown, and we're hoping that the work staff grows in the next year or two. It's like, you know, we have to start putting on more staff people and things like that.
Oh, the one thing I forgot to ask. So how did you discover We Are LA Tech?
Yeah. You know, it's going to be, I'm not going to know the exact route I got in. I got directed to the website and it's probably through some of the women in tech people because I've met a whole lot of them through like the Founders Organization and all these other founders groups I'm a part of.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you know Cam Kashani's everything. Right.
Yeah.
So like Cam and I had chatted at a few events, like these like
Cam's
founders.
Cam's amazing.
Things, awesome.
Cam co-founded what was a really significant co-working space in Los Angeles called Co-Loft. And she really planted the seeds that literally led to Los Angeles becoming the top three tech city in the world.
Right.
It was a human, Cam Kashani, who contributed to this happening.
Yeah, and she's just someone who I just run into her at random events. We always just joke around, and I think our whole like friendship started with like a really inappropriate joke at a bar
her
one time
laugh
where we were all hanging out, and I was like, "Ah, you're cool. I like you." So I'm probably through her in some roundabout way. I saw someone else posting like, "Oh, there's a cool site," and then I decided to submit a community profile and check it out. I know it's weird because...
And aren't you glad you did?
Totally. We dabble in tech, but we're like not the exact same thing as the We Are LA Tech scene on an everyday basis. We're not like making one app or one thing.
Right.
So I always thought it's kind of funny. I'm like, well, I'm kind of an agency that's pitching our services that can help. So in the LA Tech scene, we have worked with startups. We've helped because some startups don't actually have the actual tech capacity. They have a great idea. And we've helped a lot of startups like just brainstorm their idea a little better. We can do some of the design on it. We can do some of the development on it, and we can always help out in a little bit of a way like that. And
super
so we've
cool.
done that with a couple startups, and if you guys, if they need a brand or something like that, we can always do like a little bit of at least, mentoring behind it. It comes down to a thing. I know budgets are always tight in the startup world. So a lot of times it's more of, we'll talk to you through this, but we'll give you if you're really strapped on a budget, we'll give you a better option for right now and come back when you have a budget for the larger.
And it's cool. I think the whole like ecosystem here in Los Angeles is about, and that's what We Are LA Tech is about. It's about uniting all of us together because we need you. You need we all need one another in a very collaborative way in order to accelerate together. And if we try to just do everything in a singular way on our own and very isolating, it puts a cap on your growth potential.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think here it's like you're saying, it's very collaborative. It's people root for each other here, which I've never been a part of the Silicon Valley scene, but it seems the opposite there from what most people talk is like, not that it's not competitive here, but people cheer on like their fellow agencies and their fellow tech people. And they're kind of all, you said, we're a big group of fans of one another and everyone tries to help.
Totally.
And so I think that's kind of the way we like to really work. Like most of our clients become in some way, not maybe our best friends, but they in some way interact with us and become, friendly with us in some way. And it's like, that's kind of the way we want to do it. We don't want to be like, we're going to do this work for you just because you're paying us and never talk to you outside of that.
100%.
Usually it's us supporting them with their projects. We'll, a lot of times we befriend them on like social media and we'll, shoot them messages and
100%.
Stuff like that.
100%. Thank you so much
for
making
Thanks
time
for
with
me.
The We Are LA Tech podcast. You guys, if you want to connect with more incredible people in the LA Tech community, go to wearelatech.com/VIP. That's wearelatech.com/VIP. We have a private chat where everybody's looking to support one another. If you want to have more experiences where we get to social share you with the community so they can know more about who you are, go to wearelatech.com/community. And don't forget, I finally created that shop for you so you could get your very own We Are LA Tech shirt. I know everybody's been tweeting me like, where can I get a We Are LA Tech shirt? Where can I get a We Are LA Tech shirt? And you used to have to like, da, 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 da. It doesn't even matter. It just was like confusing. Finally built the shop. It's there. WeareLATech.com/shop. I will see you guys, talk to you guys, hear you guys in the next episode. Bye. We Are LA Tech is independently funded by the community. We couldn't make this happen without your support. If you too want to contribute to We Are LA Tech and see us making the podcast, building the mobile apps, creating the events year after year, consider contributing at patreon.com. That's patreon.com/We Are LA Tech. Thank you. We appreciate you.